You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Raiders podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win. Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Tuesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, February 16th, 2021. Your boy Q here with you as always. And off top, want to apologize for getting this show out really, really late. Normally, I have this show posted bright and early. So when you wake up, boom, you grab your phone and boom, it's right there. You know, it's already in your podcast app waiting for you to rock and roll. So if you're on your way to work or whatever, even if you're at the house, you could just go ahead and press play and it's good to go. But getting off to a very, very late start this afternoon. And the reason why is if you're kind of watching the news, or even heard me talk about it on Monday's show, the weather in Texas is outrageous. I mean, absolutely outrageous. Your boy has not had power, honestly, since sometimes, I think Sunday night going into Monday morning. I think I lost power around 4 in the morning. Didn't have it again until way later in the evening, like 4:30 in the evening. Then it clicked back off at 6:30. So it's like it teased us, right? It was like a cheap, well, you know, anyway, it was one of those, you know, something. It was a quick, cheap tease where we only had power for about 2 hours. It went back out. It clicked back on at like 2:30 this morning for 30 minutes. You want to talk about an even cheaper tease, 30 minutes of power. So it's like we had to suck up electricity. We had to try to suck up some heat real quick, fast and in a hurry. And that was it. There's snow all over the ground. There's cars are barely moving. There's a car. I had a neighbor actually got stuck at the stop sign. He had to get his car basically towed back to his house. Couldn't get out of his own street. Couldn't get off the street. So it's been bad, man. Your boy has been having it bad as far as the weather in Texas. So this is the reason why the podcast is out so late today, but I was not going to disappoint and not be able to put out some show. I just knew it was going to be a little bit late, so I definitely apologize for that, but these are the times that we're dealing with. But we still got a banger of a show to put out, so this is what we're going to do. Coming up in segment number 3, your calls and text straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That is the number, and that's coming up in segment number 3. Segment number 2, I'm kind of reacting to one, the show that I did on Monday where I was talking about the Bears and Derek Carr. I had a nice little interview, quick 10 minute interview talking about how the Bears really want Derek Carr. And Raider Izzy, he actually hit me up late Monday evening and asked me about, you know, if he was crazy for basically saying if the Bears offered up Carr or wanted Carr for 2 ones and a defensive player, is he crazy to want to roll with Mariota? And, you know, and so I'm going to kind of build off of his text and his question and my responses. And I have 4 questions in return that follow that question. So one question from Raider Izzy leads to 4 questions that I have, just kind of like a rebuttal. So I'm going to talk about that coming up in segment number 2. Not trying to push Derek Carr out of the organization, not trying to be that guy, but at the same time, you know, just kind of answering the question from Raider Izzy and giving my thoughts and even concerns if the Raiders were to go in a direction like that. That'll come up in segment number 2. Here in segment number 1, as I do on the daily, give you the news and the notes of the day that I've kind of collected. So we'll go ahead and jump right into that. I guess the biggest news for the Raiders that came out was the fact that LaMarcus Joyner used to be a free agent picked up by the Raiders. They picked him up from the Rams a couple seasons ago. Looks like the Raiders are going to release him, and that'll save about $9 million on the salary cap. And I don't think that this is a big surprise. Now, I did, with the hiring of Gus Bradley, I did think, okay, well, maybe they'll keep him and put him in the position he's supposed to be at, which all the Raider Nation knows is safety. But instead, it looks like that they're probably going to release him, which will save them about $9 million on the salary cap. And we all know that the Raiders are in a certain situation with the salary cap that has them currently over the limit. And we don't really know that how much they're over the limit because the salary cap has not been determined. It could be as low as $175 million. It could be as high as what it was last year at $195 million. A lot of estimations are coming in saying it's going to be $180, $181. So the Raiders are trying to get themselves in that position and then also position themselves where they can be players in free agency so they can make make additions to their team instead of having to make a bunch of subtractions. So LaMarcus Joyner looks like he's going to be released. That'll save him about $9 million. So you combine that with the release of Tyrell Williams, which will be about $10 million. Marcus Mariota, he is supposed to make $10 million if he's on the roster. Most likely, he's probably going to get traded. That's $10 million right there off the book. So you look at that. You got $10 million from Tyrell Williams, $9 million off LaMarcus Joyner. That's $19 million. Another $10 from Marcus Mariota. Boom. You're almost at $30 million in cap space. Now, the Raiders don't get that whole cap space because, like I said before, they're over the cap right now. So the first they got to get under the cap and then whatever they have left. And don't forget about the big elephant in the room. And I do not mean that in a disrespectful way, like I'm body shaming or anything. But Trent Brown, big right tackle Trent Brown, he's still a big question. And if the Raiders were to release him or trade him, they could actually save $14 million. So if you're already almost at $30 million and then you move on from Trent Brown, that's another $14 million. So now you're cooking with grease, man. Now you're at about $44 million in cap space. But again, like I said, you got to get to the cap space threshold right there. I think they're, what, like $8 million over the cap right now? So first they'd have to get down, you know, get under the cap, and then whatever they have left. So if they're at 44 and if they're eight over right now, then you're looking at like, you know, $34 million. So $34 million over, you know, not over the cap, but under the cap would be great. You know, that would make them players. That would make them have the ability to go out there and get a free agent or two and then also, you know, sign their draft class when they get them. So those are just questions. But if you move on from Trent Brown and you save that $14 million, I said it's the big elephant in the room because then you got a huge hole at the right tackle position. So that's where the big question comes in. You know, do you want to move on from Trent Brown? He hasn't been available the time he's been with the Raiders, a couple seasons that he's been there. He's missed a ton of time. And you always know, my saying, the best ability is availability. Trent Brown has not been available. But you know damn well when he's out there how stinking good he is. So if you're going to move on from him, how do you replace him? So that's the $14 million question. Not the $1 million question, the $14 million question. Is it worth him staying on the roster to solidify that spot, even if you only have him for maybe half the season? You know, I mean, then you have to have a backup in there. Me personally, I think that they're going to move on from him, and I think that they probably should, even though he's out there working out. You know, he's been showing videos of him working out. I know that he got rid of all the Raider stuff off his social media, so maybe that's his tale that, oh, hey, I'm on my way out. I don't know. I don't never get into, oh my gosh, this guy scrubbed his social media of this, that, the other. I don't like to base everything off of what social media tells me. You know what I mean? Because players are creatures of habit. They're also emotional guys. They're also young dudes. They're also in this social media world. Like, I mean, if I took to social media every time I'd be mad, nobody would like me on Twitter. You know what I mean? Anytime I got mad or angry or upset or was feeling some kind of way, and if I went to Twitter and said something about it, everyone would be like, man, this dude is an emotional wreck. I don't do that. I don't put everything out there on social media. I don't think anyone should, but it's a different generation. So I don't really base anything off of what I see or what I hear on social media. And the latest, you know, Trent Brown has smeared and wiped off all his Raiders stuff off of his social media, like his Instagram or whatever. And that's fine. I actually wouldn't know about his Twitter because he's blocked me. So, I mean, it is what it is. I've been blocked by Trent Brown on social media. Him and Ocho Cinco, for some reason, have me blocked. I don't know what I ever did to Ocho Cinco, but apparently I said something that he didn't like. And Trent Brown, I did a show called something about accountability, and I was talking about Trent Brown, and he probably got mad about that. Someone probably pointed that out to him, and he said, you know what, I'm blocking this Q guy. What does he know? So, I mean, it is what it is. But either way you look at it, you've got to make a decision on what you're going to do with that position. Are you going to try to go for the save the money, or are you going to try to solidify that position? And if you are going to try to save the money, which I think they'll do, do you replace that right tackle position with a guy in the draft that you know, and this is a very deep draft as far as tackles goes. So maybe you might not even have to go get one in the first round. You may be able to go down in the second round and still get a quality right tackle and just plug him in there and have him on a rookie deal. That might be the way they want to go. Do you go free agency? Probably not. You know, I mean, it's just, there's so many questions to be had, but that's kind of the situation as far as the money goes with the Raiders right now. They're over the salary cap, but they're working their way down. And we're going to continue to hear this throughout the next few days, leading all the way up until that March date, that new league year starts. They're going to get under the salary cap, and they're going to put themselves in good position to be players in free agency. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to go out and spend $100 million in free agency, but I think that they'll put themselves in position where they could be players, where they can get some pieces that are needed. The thing is, unlike some other years, they've actually got to get the correct pieces and make sure that they're going to be, you know, perfect for the team. So we'll see. But, you know, the biggest deal, LaMarcus Joyner, looks like he's going to be released, and that's going to save about $9 million. You combine that with the $10 million from Tyrell Williams. Marcus Mariota, most likely he's probably going to get traded, which will be great. You'll save the $10 million, and you'll get some draft capital back. And then the big elephant in the room, Trent Brown. And I'm sure probably in the next few days or so, we'll hear something about that. But that's really all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, news and notes of the day. Coming up in segment number two, I'm going to respond to Raider Izzy's question that he had for me about dealing Derek Carr for a couple ones and a defensive player. That'll all come up in segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Before I get into that, though, I do want to tell you about betonline.ag. Not only are they the title sponsor of my other podcast, Locked On Bets, but they're the place that you need to go if you're trying to get off the sidelines and get into the game. I mean, college basketball is going on. NBA is going on. UFC is going on. Baseball is right around the corner. Hockey is going on. There's so many different things that you can dibble and dabble in and get your gamble on. BetOnline.ag is the actual place for you to go and do it. They're the one place we trust and the place that has you covered. If you need an account, that's fine. Sign up today. BetOnline.ag. Get a free account. And when you make your first deposit, if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. What is that mean? That means if you drop a hundo in, you're going to have $150 to play with. You drop 200 in, then boom, you're going to have $300 to play with. It's almost like playing with someone else's money, which is the only way I like to gamble. Ask Mama Q. She knows. I'm great at gambling with other people's money, terrible when it comes to gambling with my own. So why don't you betonline.ag, use their money once you open up your free account today. Again, betonline.ag. They are your online sportsbook experts. If you're looking for them on social media, it's at betonline_ag. Again, take advantage of all the bonuses that they have, all the bonuses that they offer. BetOnline.ag. Segment number two is on the way.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Raiders podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, again on this Tuesday, February 16th, 2021. And in this segment, I want to respond to my man, Raider Izzy. He sent me a text message. Me and Raider Izzy usually talk a lot of Raiders. We'll shoot some texts back and forth. We'll talk draft. We'll talk free agencies. We'll just talk about the team in general, and usually has some really good questions to ask. And really, he presented this question after listening to Monday's show when I talked to Bill Zimmerman, who covers the Bears. And the Bears are highly interested in Derek Carr. Now, let me put this out there right now so there's no mistakes. I'm not suggesting that the Raiders trade Derek Carr. Not at all. And I'm not trying to keep the move on from Derek Carr narrative going at all. But when I see somebody very adamantly go out there and say how much a team covets a player that is currently on the Raiders, I'm going to go ahead and pursue that conversation and kind of pick their brain. So that's why I talked to Bill Zimmerman on Monday to talk about Derek Carr and how much the Bears really want him. And he, to the point, said Derek Carr would be the second best quarterback in Bears history if the Raiders traded him to Chicago, which kind of blew my mind. It kind of tells you where the history of the Bears and their quarterbacks are, right? So anyway, after Raider Izzy heard that conversation and heard that whole podcast on Monday, he hit me and he was like, look, let me ask you this question. If we could get Chicago to give up two ones and a defensive player, am I nuts for wanting to roll with Mariota and build a team? We'd have a lot of cap that we could trade for some real deal dudes also. It's very, very tempting. So he brings up a great point. You know what I mean? And I think this is why every team should always listen to anyone who may call and ask about a guy. You should always have an open ear and an open mind. I say that about jobs all the time. You know, it's like anytime a job or a potential job calls you and says, hey, we want to interview you, I always say take the interview because you never know what they're going to tell you. You always listen to the interview. At the end of the day, you could always say no. So it doesn't matter who is on the Raiders. If any team is out there and they want to call and say, hey, what will it take to get this guy? Or, hey, we'll offer you this to get this guy. You have to listen. At the end of the conversation, you can always say, hey, thanks a lot, fill in the blank team. Thanks, but no thanks. That's very, very simple. So that's why the Raiders and any other team across the league, they take these calls. And that's why Carr is in this conversation. But to Raider Izzy's point, just say the Bears would offer two ones and a defensive player. My biggest question is, I think that's too rich. I think that's too rich, but if a team is desperate, you never know what they could do. So is that a too rich of a value? I think yes. That would be the question. So I always ask questions whenever anything is presented to me. I always ask questions so I can kind of get to the bottom of it. So my very first question would be, is that too rich to give up this guy? I think it is. And so I don't think that they would do that. I would think that they would say, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. And maybe it depends on who the defensive player is. You know, if it's Roquan Smith, like you heard Bill Zimmerman say, he said if it's 1-1 and Roquan, he would have no problem with it. 2-1s and Roquan, he would really, really hesitate. Now, I don't want a guy on defense just because he's on defense. I don't want some scrub that they're going to cut anyway. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to get a defensive player, I want a dude. So I guess the two questions that can go together, is that too rich and who's the defensive player? Now, this is where it really gets hairy for me, though. if the Raiders were to do that and make that move, and it could be with Chicago or any other team in the league, one, who's your long-term quarterback? Even if you roll the dice with Marcus Mariota this year, this is the final year of his contract that he has with the Silver and Black. So what do you do with him? Even if he plays well, I don't think he plays at the level that Derek Carr played to get you to where you want to go. I think the Raiders want to win now. I don't know if Marcus Mariota puts you in the position to win now. Now, what I don't know is what he can do with multiple starts, because we didn't see him with multiple starts. Matter of fact, we didn't see him with any starts in 2020. What we saw him do was come in relief of Derek Carr when he went down and got injured, and he was okay. He was great with his legs, and he was so-so with his arm. So can he improve quick, fast, and in a hurry to be all of a sudden a dual threat guy and very accurate with his arm and be really, really good and help lead the Raiders into the playoffs? Because this year, you've got to make the playoffs, right? You can't say, oh, well, we're rebuilding. I mean, come on. How many years are you going to build for? You know what I mean? Like, are you trying to build Noah's Ark, or what are you building? I mean, you've got to get this thing. You got to get it figured out. You've got to get into the playoffs, and you got to get into the playoffs now. It's been far too long since you've been in the playoffs, and John Gruden, since he's returned, hasn't made it there yet. 4-12, 7-9, 8-8. What is he going to do in 2021? Are you going to take a step back because all of a sudden you dealed your quarterback? Then Raider Nation is looking at you like, what did you do that for? What did you make that decision for? So my question is, who's your long-term quarterback? So you've got to answer that question, and the Silver and Black would have to answer that question before that they can make that trade. And then two, maybe even the more important question, who are you getting with those two ones? That's a question that I have. And I know I've talked about that on the podcast before, but the Raiders had five ones. Five. And I don't think any of us have identified an alpha dog. We've identified a really good running back in Josh Jacobs. You know that was a good pick. But some will question, should he even have been a first-round guy? Maybe he's a guy you went and got in the second round. I have no problem with him being a first-round guy. But outside of the Josh Jacobs and what he's done his 2 years in the league, going over 1,000 yards both seasons, really good. Outside of that, what do you have with the other four? Who are you bragging about? Clelin Ferrell? I know you're not bragging about him. Are you bragging about Jonathan Abram? I know you're not bragging about him. Are you bragging about Henry Ruggs? No, not yet. And are you bragging about Damon Arnett? Nah, not yet. So, you know what I mean? So if you had five ones and you really only came away with the running back and Josh Jacobs that you could brag about and say he's a really, really good player, he's a Pro Bowler. None of those other guys are Pro Bowlers. He was a Pro Bowler in 2020. And I know the Pro Bowl is not the end-all, be-all, but that kind of reflects on your front office. It reflects on your coaching staff. And I know, look, this was a weird year leading up to 2020. So Henry Ruggs has an opportunity to be a good player. I believe that he could be a good player. Damon Arnett, I feel like he could be a really good player. The Raiders felt like he could be a good player in training camp, and then he wasn't able to stay on the field in 2020. So he could be a really good player. But as of right now, as we speak on February 16th, we know for a fact the Raiders got one stud out of five first-round picks. So because you trade Derek Carr for two first-round picks, does that mean that you're going to get a real-deal player, or are you going to get another Jonathan Abram? Or are you going to get another Clelin Ferrell? Or are you going to get another Damon Arnett? Or are you going to get another Josh Jacobs? I mean, that's the biggest question. And, you know, I've had this conversation with Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas. And, you know, he said, well, that's true. You can't stop making deals because you haven't really hit when you have those picks, which is 100% true. 100% true. I back him up on that 100%. But as far as winning now, Raider Nation, tell me, do you want to win now, or are you still trying to build? Me personally, I want to see them win now. I want to see them get to the playoffs right now. And if that's what they're going to do in 2021, that's what they should do in 2021, let me say that. I don't know if you're doing that with Marcus Mariota and a bunch of draft picks, because I don't know who you're going to draft, and I don't know how good of players they're going to be. You know, I don't know if you're going to get a TJ Watt or you're going to get, like I said, a Jonathan Abram. And I don't mean to keep bringing his name up, but I think he's the one of the biggest questions still. Clelin Ferrell, I know there's a lot of questions around him as well. You know, you went and got Clelin Ferrell. Devin White was right behind him. Stud, just played in the Super Bowl, just won a championship with Tampa Bay. I mean, you've got to hit the right buttons. And I said this before even Khalil Mack got traded. Just because, I use my baseball analogy because I love baseball, just because you get extra times at bat don't mean that you're going to get a base hit. You also could strike out. You could pop out. You could whatever. Just because you come to the plate another time doesn't mean that you're going to get on base. So far, out of five times at bat, the Raiders, we know, have landed on base once. Once. and that's in Josh Jacobs. So that's my question in the response to Raider Izzy, what he had to say. But I would love, I would absolutely love to hear from you on the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. The question Raider Izzy said, if we could get Chicago to give up two ones and a defensive player, am I nuts for wanting to roll with Mariota and build the team? We'd have a lot of cap that we could trade for some real deal, and we could trade for some real deal dudes also. It's very tempting. Let me know your thoughts. Again, 707-654-4693. Segment number three is on the way. Before I get into that, though, I want to tell you about rockauto.com. And you know what I tell you about rockauto.com all the time, and I think is the most important, is they're a family business. They've been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com, shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, and they have everything. Engine control parts, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, carpet. You need carpet? They got carpet. It doesn't matter if your car's a classic, a daily driver, whatever you need, they have for you. A few easy clicks away, delivered directly to your door. And believe me, in the weather that I'm going through, I need everything delivered to me. Not just auto parts, I mean everything. But maybe the weather's a little bit better where you're at. Either way, rockauto.com, the catalog is unique and super easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your car or truck. You can choose the brand, specifications, and most importantly, the prices you prefer. That's right. The prices at rockauto.com are always super low and the same for professionals as it is for do-it-yourselfers. So there's no need to spend up to twice as much for the same parts. Right now, go to rockauto.com. Check out the parts available for your car or truck. While you're there, the only thing I ask you to do, in the little box that said, how'd you hear about us? Write Locked On Raiders Podcast. That's how they know that your boy sent you. And that means I'm doing my job. Great selection, super low prices, all the parts your car is ever going to need at one spot. rockauto.com. Segment number three is on the way.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Raiders podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That is the number. First up today, Vader Raider in the 303. He's calling to talk about the release of J.J. Watt. Short and sweet. Here's Vader Raider in the 303.
You, Raider Nation, it's your boy Vader Raider. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. J.J. Watt got released. And everybody looks good in silver and black, no matter who you are. Mike, John, let's not dilly-dally. Let's go do it. We need an alpha dog. We need a guy on defense that's an alpha. Oh, gee, I don't know. One just got released. Let's go get him before T.J. Watt and the Steelers get their pesky mitts on him. Vader Raider, out.
Good stuff, my man. Good stuff. I know a lot of Raider Nation responded to J.J. Watt being released by the Texans. And, yeah, man, that was a big deal. That was an absolute big deal. I don't know if he's on the Raiders' radar, but if the Raiders are on his radar, that's a good thing. You know, that's an absolute good thing. So thank you so much for that call. Definitely appreciate you. Next up, I'm going to get to another call. How about Nico in North Jersey? He's also calling to talk about J.J. Watt and the fact that the Raiders need to make the decision to bring him in and why he's a perfect fit for the Raiders. Here he is, Nico in North Jersey.
Yo, Q, Raider Nation, this is your boy Nico from North Jersey. Just got a notification on my phone, a Twitter notification. Texans release J.J. Watt. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Do not do anything besides bring that guy in the building. He is that alpha dog on that defensive line that we need. He is the guy that is going to hold everybody accountable, all those young bucks on the defensive line, Ferrell, Crosby, and the like. He's going to hold them accountable. He is the perfect guy for Gruden's team. He is the perfect guy for this defensive line, and he's going to come at a cheaper price than I bet you guys think. Get him in the building. He is going to be a tremendous asset to the defense. That's all I have to say. Do not do anything else today, Vegas. Get J.J. Watt an appointment to come see you, come talk to you, come work out a deal. That is the perfect alpha dog for that defensive line. He's going to make Max Crosby an assassin. He's going to make Cleveland Ferrell a Pro Bowler. He is going to do wonders, not only on field, off field, locker room. He is the perfect guy. Q, you said it. Who's the guy we can bring in, be an alpha dog for this defense? He is grade A alpha dog. Okay, that is the guy. That's the answer. They just released him. That is perfect. So we don't have to give up any trade, any picks, any people. Money is the only thing we got to give this guy. Get him in the building now. Love to hear your response. I think you're going to agree with me. Get him in now.
I like that. I like that. Thank you so much for that call, Nico. I like the way you broke that one down and just said, as a matter of fact, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Just go get J.J. Watt. I mentioned it on Monday's show, man, that I know that the Raiders, you know, could use J.J. Watt. I really do. I really believe he'd be a great asset. I just don't know if he's even thinking about the silver and black. I think he's thinking Pittsburgh. I think he's thinking Green Bay. I saw a report where he could be thinking about the Browns. I don't have any idea where he's where he's thinking or where he's leaning, but I think every team in the league could probably use him. So I know for a matter of fact he's going to have a lot of suitors. So thank you so much for that call. I appreciate you. Next up is Raider Fredo. And he's actually a new booty, but I don't have my music to go ahead and sound the alarm. So I'm just letting it be known, Raider Fredo is a new booty calling in to talk about the possibility of Derek Carr getting traded and why he's saying that doesn't need to be a focus of conversation anymore. Here's Raider Fredo.
Hey, what up, Raider Nation? It's me, Raider Frodo, calling from the Shire. Just calling to give some thoughts on the offseason, what we should do. In regards to the whole Derek Carr trade, whatever, I think we should just stop with that. I liken it to kind of like having a truck, and the engine to that truck is fine. It's strong, but at the same time, you got four flat tires. You ain't getting nowhere with four flat tires. The engine is fine. Replace those four flat tires. You need to fix that. Fix the defense, guys. The engine is fine. Carr is fine. The offense is fine. It could use some improvements, but let's focus on the defense, guys. Come on. Cut it out with all that crap. Terrell Williams, LaMarcus Joyner are going to be gone, so that should free up some money. Mariota, more than likely, is going to get traded, as well as Trent Brown. So hopefully we can pick up some picks with those. I really like Marcus Williams from the Saints. Safety, Richard Sherman, if we can get him on a reasonable contract, that should give us that veteran presence that we need in the secondary. So that would help shore up our secondary. I really like Unique Ngakoue. I think he's starting to lose a little bit of value. And the Raiders have definitely come up on that and just to strictly rely on him as a pass rusher and pressure the quarterback. So I think a question that I would ask Raider Nation is, who do you think we can go if we don't get those big name free agents, other free agents? Who do you see that we can possibly get? So, hope you guys are doing good. All right, Q.
There he is right there, and that was my bad. It's not Raider Fredo, it's Raider Frodo. My bad, dog. And I agree. Carr is not the problem. I've never said that Derek Carr is the problem. I just think, in my opinion, since, you know, he is the guy, and since teams are desperate for quarterbacks, that these conversations are going on right now. I fully, truly believe Derek Carr will be under center in 2021. But you still have to have these conversations just in case a team gets super desperate, like we talked about in segment number two, if a team is willing to give up two ones and a defensive player. The Raiders would at least have to think about that. I mean, that's something that you have to think about, but you also have to answer the questions that I presented in segment number two before you go ahead and make a move like that. And again, defense is where I think that the concentration should be, and I think if any big-time trades happen, that's where it should be. Free agents, you mentioned Ngakoue, I've been pounding the table for him for quite a while. Leonard Williams, that'd be great if he is made available by the Giants. Who knows if he is. Marcus May is another guy that I'd be interested in. I mean, there's a few players out there that I'd definitely be interested in as being potential free agent guys or even guys that you can make a trade for. Leonard Williams, you know, he was the franchise tag holder for the Giants last year, so I don't think they're just going to let him walk out of the building. But again, you just never know, especially with that salary cap, what they plan on doing. Also got a couple text messages, and let's go ahead and get into those text messages. I'm doing things from the radio station, not at my home studio, so everything's a little bit different today. So let me go ahead and get in this text message from Homie Raider in the 831 Santa Cruz. He said, yo, Q, been a minute. Homie Raider in the 831 Santa Cruz, you're the man. Even my lady enjoys your podcast, and she's a Niner fan. Great interview with the Violator. It was 2005. My pops and I sat near him, and we took a picture for the last game of the season versus the Giants. Tiki Barber had a nasty 95-yard touchdown. That'll never go away. Or my dad yelling at the defense, who taught you to pass rush, Norv Turner? But like V said, can't do anything about the cracked eggs behind us. You may as well cook an omelet. I'm stealing that one too, Q. Anyway, I was 13 and remember the Violator scared the hell out of me visually, but it didn't take long for me to feel embraced, like we were part of something bigger. Watching everyone smile, pumped up, high-fiving him, so much passion. Looking back, he really highlighted what it means to be part of the nation, and it felt like family, Q. Congrats to Tom Flores, Charles Woodson, and thank you for showing me the ropes, Violator. Also, got our Built Bars today. Coconut almond, best one. Toffee almond and caramel brownie. Only took you telling me 100 times. Again, that's from the homie Raider, 831 Santa Cruz, Cali. Thank you so much for that. And I remember that game. I was actually at that game as well. I was so angry at that game, the way that the Giants just basically had their way with the Raiders in that game. But the Violator was always one of those people that you always saw routinely at the Coliseum. You always saw him at the game, and you knew that you were home. And like you said, it's always a family affair. And that's what I've always loved about being a Raider fan, is it's more than just a fan base. It's more than just a football team. It's more than just dubs and L's. It's a family. It's a family affair. We all have chips on our shoulders. We all have come from, you know, some kind of background where we feel like someone has done us wrong and we're out to prove something. That's just kind of what being a Raider is. And that's the beautiful thing about it. So thank you so much for that text. I definitely appreciate you. Next up, I got another text from Andrew the Raider. He said, "Hey Q, I voiced some respectful disagreement regarding your take on the Raiders needing the alpha dog linebacker this offseason. But man, I've started my yearly prospect film watching and got to Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, the linebacker that all the mock drafts have the Raiders grabbing. This dude is an alpha dog. His game versus Clemson sold me and converted me. The man flies around the field with bad intentions. Raiders must, in all capitals, add this linebacker if they have the chance. I'm sure you've already started thinking about pre-draft interviews and whatnot, but any chance you haven't thought of this already, if you manage to get an interview with JOK, that would be legendary. Thanks for all you do, and the Raider Nation, stay classy, y'all." That's from Andrew the Raider. Thank you so much for that text, my man. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to act like, you know, I'm breaking news or I'm a genius or whatever like that, but watching Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah myself, realize how much the Raiders need a guy like that. And watching the Super Bowl with Devin White let me know how much the Raiders need a guy like that. I realize they got Corey Littleton. I know they got Nick Kwiatkowski at that linebacker position, but they need what I like to call, as everyone knows, an alpha dog or a dude. They need a difference maker. And I think that this dude could be a difference maker. He's got the speed. He can cover a tight end if he has to. He can go sideline to sideline. He is the 2021-20 version of, you know, a linebacker, you know, the new day and age linebacker. It's not your father's football anymore. You know, it's a different league now. You've got to have that speed. The Raiders need a lot of speed on offense, but they also need a lot of speed on defense. And I think Owusu-Koramoah could definitely provide that. And I'm never really sold on a player that I want to see the Raiders draft in February, especially early February. Usually I wait till the combine. I wait till, you know, their pro days. I really start to assess the situation. But if he's available at number 17, I would have no problem running up to the podium my damn self and saying, "Hey, this is the pick right here. I don't care if you wanted me to do a couple backflips or whatever." I would do it on the way up to the podium and say, "Hey, this is the guy, and this is the guy that the Raiders need." I don't know what's going to happen between now and then. It's very rare that the Raiders actually draft a guy that is mocked in all these mock drafts to the Raiders. And look, he might not even be available at number 17. Someone else might go get him before that. But I do think if he's available at number 17, the Raiders need to go make that happen. So thank you so much for that text. Definitely appreciate you. Got another text from JC Raider texting out of Ogden, Utah. It's funny, I actually got a couple JC Raiders here, so I'll get to both of them real quick. JC Raider out of Ogden, Utah says, "Everyone is talking about flipping Mariota. Maybe I'm alone in this, but I like him as a backup. He was the only guy in there that I felt we still had a chance if Carr went down. I don't like any of the alternatives. Thanks for all you do." Short and sweet, JC Raider out of Ogden, Utah. And you're not wrong. No, Mariota as a backup was great. A couple situations, though. Other teams want him, so the Raiders have an opportunity to flip him for something. And two, he's got a pretty hefty price tag for a guy who only got into one game. He saw one game action. Now, I'm with you. If the Raiders had used him and showcased him and actually made him part of the offense, I think that that would have been ideal. I don't know how many weeks it was before he was healthy, but he literally got into one game. So if he's going to be a $10 million man sitting on the sideline, I kind of have an issue with that. Now, if you're going to use him in packages and put him out there on the field and get him involved in the red zone and let his legs be weapons and put him as a real deal dude on your offense, yeah, heck yeah, keep him. Especially if you're only going to get, like, you know, a fourth or a fifth round pick for him. Now, if you get a third round pick for him, you really seriously got to highly consider that. Especially, again, with the salary cap going down. So those are my responses to that. But yeah, no, you're right. He's a great backup if you can afford the luxury of having a great backup. Thank you so much for that. Now, one more text before we wrap up today's show. This is actually from JC Raider, but he's out of Southern Cali. So you got JC Raider from Ogden, Utah, and JC Raider out of Southern Cali. He says, "Second time reaching out to the pod. There's been something on my mind for a couple weeks now, and I haven't seen any platform bring up this trade scenario, so I'm presenting it to you, Q. This is the only scenario in which I trade DC. DC has been my guy since we first drafted him, and I know he's not the problem, so I emphasize when I say that we only trade him if this scenario presents itself. Forget the D. Watsons. Forget the Russell Wilsons of the world. What we need is a young gunslinger to run with these young quarterbacks in the AFC West. Enter Trevor Lawrence. Raiders trade away the 17th pick in this year's draft and Derek Carr, giving us a great rookie quarterback while dumping DC's contract to shore up with the defense. If need be, throw in a second or third round pick as well. Last season, Justin Herbert proved that experience isn't necessary. These guys are coming into the league already pro ready. All that is needed is a coach that can mold this quarterback. Enter quarterback guru, John Gruden. It's a long shot, but the Jags would get DC, who would automatically make them better, and our 17th overall pick, all while still having the 25th overall pick in the draft, along with that cap space they could play with. In turn, we got Trevor Lawrence and all Carr salary back to bring in some alpha dogs for defense. Great defenses and decent quarterback play wins championships. With Lawrence, this can be formula for years to come. Trade makes sense both ways. I'd love to hear what you and Raider Nation have to say about this trade scenario. Love the pod, man. I tune in each and every week. Keep up the pod. Good work. That's JC Raider out. And then he's also said, hey, Trevor Lawrence is having surgery on Tuesday, which is today, for his non-throwing shoulder. And at the most, he'll be out 6 months, pegging him for an August comeback just in time for the season. Again, that's from JC Raider out of Southern Cali. That's a whole lot going on there. And I'll tell you right now, I don't think there's any way possible the Jaguars come off that number one pick and the shot at getting Trevor Lawrence for Derek Carr. And that's not a slight at Derek Carr. I just think that's how good Trevor Lawrence is. Trevor Lawrence would only be traded and moved on from with the Jacksonville Jaguars if they had an opportunity to go and get like a Deshaun Watson or a Russell Wilson, in my opinion. And that might even be a stretch. They might even say, you know what, we'll roll the dice with Trevor Lawrence. We're not supposed to win this year anyway. I don't think that they would trade the Raiders and their 17th pick for Trevor Lawrence and Derek Carr. You know, I just don't see that swap happening. You would have to throw in a whole lot if you're the Raiders. I just, as much as it sounds creative, I don't think it's a possibility. But, you know, hey, it's a good way to, like I said, get creative. I just don't think that's realistic. So thank you so much for that text. We'll see how it all shakes out. You know, maybe you'll be the one guy that said, hey, I had this scenario to begin with. I'd love to hear Raider Nation's thoughts on it. 707-654-4693. See what they think. But I honestly don't think that's something that is a possibility. So that's all I got for you for today's show. I know it's super late getting out. I apologize again. I plan on having a show tomorrow. Of course, I'm still dealing with no electricity. I'm actually at the radio station. Recording this today, and it was kind of crazy getting even out of the house and getting to the radio station. So deal with me, bear with me. Again, I apologize not getting the show up earlier, but weather, Mother Nature and Father Time are two things that I guess have never been undefeated, or are undefeated, whatever the saying is. Who knows? Anyway, that's all I got for you for today's show. How about that? Coming up on tomorrow's show, or the next time I get a show, we'll have more news and notes of the day. Of course, we'll have more calls and texts throughout that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. And I also want to talk about Gus Bradley. That'll be something I talk about in segment two. Gus Bradley and how quickly can he get this Raiders defense turned around? And I'll tell you what I mean by that on the next show. So until then, Raider Nation, keep warm. Stay inside if you can. You know, do what you got to do. If you're dealing with bad weather like I am, stay safe. Make sure you wash your hands. Make sure you wear your mask. Social distance. Do what you got to do. And most importantly, as always, Raider Nation, just win, baby.